Okay, and now we're with Bob, and he's going to tell us about where he was born and when.
I was born in Owosso, Michigan, outside of, from a little town called Chesaning, where my father was a school teacher in May of 1937. And I grew up pretty much in the lower part of Michigan. I went to primary school, secondary school in Bay City, Michigan, where my father started as a teacher and then a principal and then a college administrator for the local junior college.
What was it like to go to a school where your father is a principal?
It was okay. I was one of those somewhat shy and I suppose pitiful looking fellows because I had a bad case of acne. And also in growing up, although my parents were pretty much in the city, I also grew up part of the time on a farm in Clarksville, Michigan. So I kind of had the best of both worlds. As far as growing up where your father is a school teacher, you behave yourself.
But when you're on the farm, you don't have to behave yourself.
Pardon?
When you're on the farm, you don't have to behave yourself.
Yeah, you do.
You
And you work
do.
very hard. And I probably spent the first 18 years of my life trying to get off that bloody farm. And then probably spent the next 18 trying to get back on it because I didn't realize I had it so good.
Oh, so did you have any siblings?
I have a sister who's 13 years younger than I am. She was a blessing to my parents and to me. And like my wife, there's a pretty good, decade generation gap between our siblings.
Okay, so you didn't have much. Okay, so you grew up there, and what did you do for entertainment during your for having fun?
I worked an awful
Worked.
lot. It kind of hampered me in sports, even though I was very tall. But I also, having a father who was a school teacher, it was a mild form of starvation in those days. And there wasn't a lot of money. So when I wasn't on the farm in the summers, I had paper routes, any job at all, washing cars, working in a freezer plant, anything to make a buck. And I've always been that way.
Was this farm, is that your family owned or your grandparents or?
Yes. My grandparents, the Stewart side of the family, had a full section, 640 acres, which was subdivided amongst five children. My father didn't get any of that, but I was expected to spend time there. My ancestors were you going to ask me that question?
Yeah, go ahead.
My ancestors on my father's side were Scotch. They came from Scotland to Canada and then migrated down into upper Michigan. Generally, although our name is spelled like the Mary Queen of Scots, like the ruling house of England, Ireland, and Scotland, our ancestors were basically, as my uncle once said, born on the wrong side of the blanket. We were generally noted for never letting any bad whiskey go to waste and taking a little good, too good a care of somebody else's sheep. My grandmother on my mother's side of the family was one of seven children who came from Holland. And she came over on a boat. And I suppose I'm a mixture of 50% Scot, 50% Dutch, probably no more two ornery gen normally no more ornery races of people than the Scotch and Dutch. But it's done me well.
It's done you well. Good, good, good. Okay, now your wife told us that you brought her to Alaska. So you tell me about your love for Alaska and what brought you, why you wanted to come here.
Well, I should back up a little bit.
Okay.
I went to the Michigan College of Mining and Technology, where I met my wife. She was one of 26 co-eds out of a male population of over 3,000. So you had to be pretty decent to catch one. I guess I was a little corny because she was a city girl and I pretty much was a country boy. But I told her that I was very fond of her. She had ankles like a racehorse and smelled like a pine tree. And she didn't know how to take that, nor did any of her roommates. But that was my feeling. You don't want to confuse that either. You know, you better get that right. Ankles like a racehorse and smelled like a pine tree. But we married in college. Again, I was always scratching for money, and I had a small scholarship to study mining engineering, but that's basically a five-year course or 4 years and three summers. So I had to do anything at all to make a buck. And one of the things, because Michigan Tech was a land-grant college, you had to do the first 2 years in junior ROTC and then the last two and senior ROTC, and the last 2 years I could make $27 a month, and I needed that to pay my room and board. I graduated with no debt, a pretty wife, the best wife alive. I think everybody thought Sally had to get married, but she didn't. We just were very happy with each other. Anyway, I then had a big choice. I could take a commission as a second lieutenant in the United States Army Corps of Engineers in July, end of July, or I would be drafted on the 11th of August, according to my draft board. So there wasn't a whole lot of choice. And I took a regular Army commission because I was designated a distinguished military student and a distinguished military graduate. Perhaps because I could not divert from my education to do sports, but I ended up as a captain of the rifle team of the ROTC group. And generally, I had to do a three-year tour, and my first assignment was in Germany. I was hoping to get to be an aviator, but they told me that, you know, I have a degree in engineering, so they can train anybody to be a pilot. So I had to go down and learn how to jump out of a perfectly good airplane in flight to airborne school. But we went to Germany, and all the time that I was in the military, I kept trying to get assigned to a cold climate. Alaska, Greenland, Iceland, the Arctic, the Antarctic, anywhere. But I was always assigned to some stinking jungle someplace. Anyway, in 1967, we were finally selected, and it was a selective process, to become part of the United States Army Alaska District Corps of Engineers. And we came to Alaska. So that's how we got here.
You came in 1967?
That's right.
When in 1967?
June of 1967, oh, so in time for the August flood. And
Corps of Engineers had a lot to do with that.
Yes, we didn't have anything to do with making the flood.
No, not with making the flood.
But we had a lot of rescue efforts and a lot of rehabilitation and reconstruction. And I have to say, that is probably one of the high points in my career. I learned to love Fairbanks. I had all kinds of weird assignments, but I was also selected to operate all the contracts written by the Office of Emergency Preparedness under Public Law 875 to rehabilitate all of the public utilities in Fairbanks. And I worked a lot of time, a lot of hours. My wife was probably always been a partial widow as long as I was in the military, but it was a very gratifying, rewarding assignment, not always gotten by everybody. I had to work with civilians and military alike. I was promoted to major, and I was decorated, and we left Fairbanks with tears in her eyes when I was told I had to go to Vietnam for the first time.
Mm-hmm. So you went to Vietnam, and what did your wife do?
We moved her back to Michigan, and we went to Vietnam.
She wants to add a word.
That was the second time. You went the first time to Vietnam in 65.
Oh, okay, yes, I did go to Vietnam before I came here.
Yeah.
But I was lucky enough to... I've been to Vietnam twice.
Twice.
In 65 and then in 68. And both times we moved Sally back to the Grand Rapids, Zeeland area, so she could be near her... Zeeland-Holland area, so she could be near her parents and the grandchildren could there. We tried... like mad to get back to Alaska, and in the second tour, I had threatened to resign. I mean, I'd been to Vietnam and shot at a lot, and I wasn't totally happy. So they said, "Well, we want you to stay in the Army. Where would you like an assignment?" I said, "I want to go back to Alaska." And they said, "No, you can't do that. We only give those assignments out once." And I said, "Okay, fine. My resignation will be in tomorrow." And amazingly, I was asked if I wanted to be the post engineer or facility engineer at Fort Greely in Delta Junction. And if I had picked the spot, I couldn't have done any better. And so... I became the post engineer at Fort Greely for a couple of years. And then I've had a couple of careers.
Some of the time. You retired from that.
Pardon?
You retired.
Yes and no. I, again, was told that I had to go back to Washington, D.C. and have a 4-year stabilized tour in Acts 4 of the Pentagon. And we've been to Washington, D.C. for various schools, and I haven't lost anything there. And again, I told them, "No, I don't want to do that. I won't do that. I want to stay in Alaska." And they said, "Well, you can't." Well, I have to say I had reenlistment talks that were unbelievable, and I was on the promotion list, but I eventually resigned and was hired as the engineer at Fort Greely, because the post commander thought I was a pretty good fellow, I guess. And I was a civilian there for a couple years. And then when I resigned, I hadn't been out one day, but I was asked if I would be part of the Office of Emergency Planning in Fairbanks and as a reservist. So I did... 13 years active duty and 10 more years in the reserves. I never wore a uniform, but because I was an engineer, if they had a generator breakdown in Bethel or someplace off in the Tules, I was ordered to active duty to go do my thing. So I retired with 22 years active duty service, and I have... The Army has sent me back to school. I have 3 degrees in engineering, if that means anything. In this country, they're not real interested in that. They're more interested in what you do.
Yeah.
But the military has been good to me.
So you retired. Where were you when you retired?
Here.
You were in Fairbanks?
No, actually, I was in Delta Junction.
Yeah.
You wanted to say something?
Oh, just for
and
so you retired in Delta.
Yeah, at Fort Greely. And we were well enough liked. We got quarters on Fort Greely, but we wanted to get away from that. We were kind of tired of the apartment living, so we bought 40 acres of land, and it was a wonderful time.
Got your home there. Very good. And then you came up here and built another home here?
Yes. My wife bought the house here. She'd had to do a lot of things by herself. I think I was sent off somewhere at a college or a class in Wisconsin. And I'll never forget the fact she came up to be with me. I was working for the Office of the Federal Inspector on the gas line. And I had worked on the Alyeska pipeline as an engineer, and then was selected to work for Office of the Federal Inspector on the gas line. And it just got pretty rough commuting back and forth to Fairbanks. I knew every rabbit and moose on the road between here and Fairbanks. So she bought the house while I was away. It was an interesting exchange. She was scared, but it was a nice house, and we remodeled it and did well.
Very good. Well, is there anything else about your career that you would like to have on the record? You said the military was good to you.
The military was good to me. Engineering has been good to me. Mm-hmm. I think having a professional license makes a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. And I've always been very happy that I worked as hard as I did recovering, helping Fairbanks recover from the Fairbanks flood. But a lot of people don't remember that now.
A lot of people didn't live here then. Right. I remember. I appreciate what you did.
Yep.
Can you tell me what your fondest memories are?
I would have to say that my fondest memories are being able to get back to my wife. In Germany, I was gone in the field a lot. On the Alaska pipeline, the oil pipeline, I was gone a lot. Vietnam, I was gone 2 years. The poor lady had to pretty much raise our children. And my fondest memories are coming back home and being home.
Good.
And the best years of my life, I think that's one of the questions. I would have to say about the same time as my wife, when I was 35 to 45, I had finished one career, was working hard in the oil and mineral industry in a second, and I never had any trouble getting a job. I've never been out of work more than one day.
But now you're out of work, now you're retired. And she told us what brought you to Raven Landing, but you tell me about what brought you to Raven Landing.
I had open heart surgery, a hernia, a lot of operations. It just got to the point where I couldn't shovel all that snow, cut that brush. I did try to garden for a little bit, but it just got to the point where Raven Landing provided, or looked like it provided, an opportunity to have a lot of these things done for us. And again, my wife was the lead on this. I wasn't totally for it, but it became obvious that this was going to be a fairly decent place to live. It is. So we moved here because of my health, I think, among other things.
So you've been here, what, now 2 years?
2 years.
A year and a half.
A year and a half. And so what has your experience been since you've been here?
We have the best apartment in the place. We have a nice little dog. We have a ground floor and fenced off. My experience is I'm better off to pretty much keep to myself because my views are somewhat conservative. And this place has a tremendous number of liberals. And a lot of them are not for the same political party I am, and they seem to want to speak against veterans and first responders. I have a grandson who's a state trooper. I keep my mouth shut pretty much at the time.
It's probably a good thing.
And but when they spout off about that, I can't stay quiet. I think folks here generally like our dog better than they like me, and that doesn't bother me a bit.
okay, but you said your favorite age already. You already told me that, so I don't even have to ask that question.
35 to 45.
35 to 45. And I want to thank you both. Is there anything else either one of you want to add at this time?
I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered it.
Oh,
without going into real detail.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do appreciate it, and Raven Lanning will appreciate it having your story in their book. So,
well, thank you for the interview.
Thank
it
you.
Was a pleasure.
Thank you.